There was one day last year when we were Christmas shopping, we went to Country Mart and they were there, and then we went to Walgreens and they were there, and they just seemed to be following us around. And I mean, they dress like Santa and Mrs. Claus. And thought that was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of people get into Santa Claus, so. But I just want to let you know, I grew up with Santa Claus, and some of you probably did too. But I want you to let you know, Santa Claus is fun, but Jesus is still better than Santa Claus. All right? For example, Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus is everywhere. He's with all his believers. Santa rides in a sleigh, and Jesus rides in the wind and walks on the water. Santa comes once a year, but Jesus is an ever-present help. Santa fills your stocking with goodies, but the Bible says that Jesus supplies your every need. Santa comes down your chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at the door and knocks and waits for you to ask him in. You have to stand in line to see Jesus. Jesus is as close. I mean, you have to stand in line to see Santa, sorry. But Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Santa lets you sit on his lap. Jesus lets you rest in his arms. Santa doesn't know your name. All he can say is, "Hi, little one, what's your name?" But Jesus knows our name before we did. Not only does he know our name, he knows our address, he knows our history, he knows our future. He even knows the number of hairs on our head. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. I used to have one of those. Still do to some extent. And Jesus has a heart full of love. All Santa can do is say, "Ho, ho, ho." And Jesus offers health and hope. Santa says, "You better not cry." And Jesus says, "Cast all your cares on me, for I care for you." Santa's little helpers make toys. Jesus makes new life. He mends wounded hearts. He repairs broken homes and he builds mansions for us. Santa may make you chuckle, but Jesus gives you the joy that is your strength. While Santa put gifts under your tree, Jesus becomes our gift and died on the tree for us. Really, there is no comparison, is there? We need to remember who Christmas is all about. The title of this sermon is "Hold On to the Promise." One of the greatest tragedies of Christmas is that we continue to worship the baby Jesus and we get stuck in the nursery. We get stuck leaning over the manger and looking at the baby. And we often end up with a sort of a teddy bear Christmas. You know, I'm a guy, but we went to Lifeway the other day. You ever go to Lifeway, the Christian bookstore? And they have these little, things you can buy for people and all that kind of stuff. How many of you, what are they called? The little faced people, the little round people, what are they called? Was it precious moments, precious memories, something like that? Yeah. Well, yeah, I can't stand the no face things. Just in case you're wondering, if you ever want to get me something for Christmas, it's got to have a face on it. Come on, the faceless people creep me out. I'm just saying. No, I was thinking the precious moments things, right? Now, I'm just going to tell you, as a guy, precious moments are fine for the ladies, but that just doesn't say anything to me. But where I'm going with this is that sometimes we've made Christmas that precious moments kind of thing, and it is. And there is a precious moment there. But I want you to remember that the Jesus who came to be born in that manger is the same Jesus who had the courage and strength and the power to go and walk before us and speak the truth in love and to live a perfect life. And he had the strength and will to go to the cross and die for our sins. So there's a strength and a power in Christmas that's much more than a teddy bear or a precious moment. It is about the strength and courage of a God who loved us so much that he gave himself for us. Without holding anything back. And that is the power of Christmas. It is that contagious love, that devastating courage, that amazing sacrifice. And that's what brings us to Bethlehem to visit the manger. Because that's who that baby is. Now, I've just got a few things I want to go through. So very quickly, number one, keep the romance in Christmas. Here we have, Joseph, and says this is how the birth of Jesus came about. Mary, his mother, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, to take her home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph did that. The title of this sermon is Holding On to the Promise. And Joseph had made a promise to Mary. And Mary had made a promise to Joseph, and Joseph wasn't sure that Mary had kept the promise. But through the power of the agent, through the agency of that angel, that promise was renewed. And so, in that moment, romance lived. And I just want you to understand, romance. How many of you read romance novels? I don't. Just in case you're wondering. I was encouraging others. Well, I do want to say there's a sense in which almost every novel is a romance novel, because every novel has that sense of adventure and that sense of, you know, you don't have a good hero unless they love something, unless they care for it. And sometimes it's caring for their country, sometimes it's caring for their family, sometimes it's caring for a cow or a dog. But there's that sense of romance in almost every story. But you see, in the beginning, God gave us Christmas, and from the beginning, we've had an enemy who's been trying to steal it from us. Our enemy, the devil, has been trying to take it. We talked about that a little bit last week, about the first Christmas. But let's look at this Christmas. You know, if you read about it, Herod wanted the wise men to tell him where Jesus was so he could kill him. The enemy's been trying to destroy Christmas ever since, and he continues today. You hear people talk about the war on Christmas, and I don't want to get on that. But the fact is that there are people who don't want Christmas. They don't want us to say anything about Christ at all. And so they've changed it. I heard about some place that they changed. They didn't have a Christmas tree. They had a holiday tree. Well, why do you think that we have a tree? It's because of Christ. Why do you think? And then we get winter break now at schools. Listen, kids, I just want you to know, I don't care what they call it in school. You're not getting a break because it's winter. You're getting a break because it's Christmas. You're getting a break because Jesus was born, and we want to celebrate that. And because so many of us celebrate it, they know they couldn't keep the schools open because we wouldn't show up. And so the fact that we call it winter break just sort of irritates me sometimes. See, they're trying to take the romance out of Christmas. Listen, if this is just another season of the year and we just need another holiday, then let's just throw in the towel and say, fine, let's go ahead. Go ahead, have a holiday. It doesn't mean anything, but it does mean something. See, the romance of Christmas means that Jesus loved us this much. Not only did He love us, but He had the strength to do what it took to make sure that we would survive. Some of you may be familiar with John Eldridge. He wrote a book a few years ago called Wild at Heart. Here's what he says. He says that every man needs a battle to fight, a righteous battle to fight. Every man needs an adventure to live, and every man needs a beauty to rescue. I like that. That sounds very manly to me. But he also says that's the heart of romance, but he also says that women long to be fought for. They long for somebody to stand up and say, hey, listen, I'm on your side, and I want to protect you, and I want to be there for you. He says that they want to share in the great adventure of life. And he says that every woman wants to have a beauty to unveil. And I think about that when I put that together with Christmas, I think, boy, what a picture of what God has done for us. You know, what is the church called? The church is called the Bride of Christ. And what does Christ want to do for us? He says He comes to live in us, and He comes to make us, right? To recreate us, to make us new. You know what He's doing? He's creating us that beauty that we need to unveil. God has a beauty He wants to unveil in you and in me. And that's what Christmas is all about. Is about that transformation that happens in us when we trust Him. And listen, I'm going to tell you from a guy who's been a Christian for 30 years and more. You know what I've got to tell you? Being a Christian, being a real Christian and getting really behind the cross is an adventure. And sometimes you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And sometimes it's heartbreaking and sometimes it's heart affirming. But always, it is the heart of God lived through you. And it changes your life. That's what happened in the Christmas story. Joseph is battling with himself, but then the angel comes and reveals the truth, and Joseph enters into the greatest adventure in life. Can you imagine being told by an angel that you're going to raise the Son of God? And parents these days worry about how they're going to do. He gets to rescue the beauty Mary. And Mary knows that Joseph is on her side, that he'll stand beside her. And she knows that he will share this adventure with her. And she knows the depths of his love. And see, God has chosen to fight for us. We're the beauty that God has chosen to rescue. His battle is for our souls, and we cannot know our true worth, our beauty, apart from Him. He reveals it to us. And you know what? He's handed that adventure off to us. We get to share it with others. Next week, we're going to do baptism. And I just want you to understand that baptism is that symbol of that new beginning. And it's a whole new adventure. And it's a new life, and it's a new start. And if you've just been baptized recently, if you're going to get baptized next week, I want you to say, you may not understand all of that right now, but I will tell you that once you start that journey, you don't know where it's going to take you. I'm a fan of The Hobbit. Anybody here a fan of The Hobbit? How many of you have seen the new Hobbit movie? Did you like it? Yeah? I don't know if it's in The Hobbit or in The Lord of the Rings, but there's a sentence that he says in one of those books, and he says, you know, going out, he says, I don't know if he says it to Bilbo or to Frodo or one of them. He says, going out your front door is the most dangerous thing you can do because you step out on that step. Is that to Frodo? Yeah. See, I knew these guys would know. And you step out your front door and you don't know where that path will lead you. Did you ever think about that? Just think about it. If you walk out your front door in the morning, I can walk out my front door and depending on where I go, I could end up in Timbuktu. And you know, life is like that sometimes. Life's sort of like a river. Have you seen the rivers this way today? Have you seen the creek this morning? If you get a little close to it, what happens? It'll just pick you up and carry you along. And you know what the adventure of life with Christ is like? Is sometimes it's like that river. God has a plan and you step into that river and He just carries you along and He takes you to places you never imagined. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about entering that great adventure. So keep the romance at Christmas. Keep the significance of Christmas. Luke 2, verse 6 and 7 says, while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, some people just don't have room for Jesus on Christmas, do they? Now, I don't know about the innkeeper. You know, we think of Holiday Inn, right? You know, you got 43 rooms. Understand, inns in that time, they might have had a room or two, but you know where most people slept in an inn at that time? They slept on the floor in the common room. And so for them to say they had no room meant that there were people sleeping shoulder to shoulder in the room. Okay? Now, sometimes we just don't make room for Jesus. Now, this is a story from 1952 in New York. In 1952, pupils in a New York public school were invited by their teacher to mention things associated with Christmas. The children responded spontaneously with things like Santa Claus, reindeer, Christmas tree, presents. Then one little girl raised her hand and said, the birthday of Jesus. And the teacher responded quickly, oh no, that's not what we mean. That was in 1952. You realize that's over 60 years ago now. And I'm afraid that then that was unusual. I'm afraid that now it's all too normal. Whether it's in a classroom or in a college campus or in a county courthouse or in the halls of Congress. We've forgotten the significance of what Christ has done for us. We've forgotten what He's done for us. I think in many ways we've lost the significance of Christmas. Now, you know, kings should be born in great palaces with pomp and circumstance. They represent power and majesty. But here God has a different plan. The greatest King of all is born in that manger. The innkeeper didn't see or couldn't understand what happened, but then again, neither did Joseph's family. Bethlehem, see, this is what always bothered me. You know, it says that everybody was supposed to go to their own hometown to register for the census, right? So where were Mary and Joseph going? They were going to their own hometown. Let me ask you a question. If you have family coming in from out of town and they can't get a hotel room, what do you tell them? You say, come stay with us. Did you ever wonder where Joseph's family was? Where were his cousins? Where were his aunts? Where were his uncles? This was his town. And they all said, nah. And what a shame. We forget the significance of what God is doing with us. They couldn't see. They couldn't understand what was happening right in front of them. the significance of the moment was lost on them. A song came out a few years ago, I think it's by Third Day, called While You Were Sleeping. You ever heard While You Were Sleeping? Talks about Bethlehem while you were sleeping, you know, Jesus was born and you missed it. Talks about Jerusalem when Jesus died on the cross while you were sleeping, you missed it. Then it talks about America and that while we're sleeping, we're missing what God is trying to do in and through us. Don't forget the significance of Christmas. Don't miss it. Number three, we need to keep the reverence in Christmas. He says there were shepherds living in the fields, Luke 2, 8 and 9. And they were watching over their flocks, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And they understood that something miraculous was happening, and they fell to the ground, and they worshipped, and they understood. But sadly, for many in our world, and many in that long ago world, reverence is missing. Christmas is truly a holiday. Understand what holiday means. Anybody understand what holiday is? Holy day, holy day. Christmas should be a holy day. I hope that when you get together with your family, when you get together with your friends, if you exchange gifts, that you take a moment to offer a prayer at least. I hope that maybe you open the Bible and read Luke with each other and talk about the birth of Jesus. One of the things that we do in our house is a lot of times we set up, we've got a little nativity that we play with the kids, and we'll give each one of them a piece, and you know, when we read their part, they put that piece out there. Now, you don't have to do that. I don't care how you do it. I remember the first time I ever experienced that was actually with Teresa's family in Tennessee. They got together, and we were there. I guess it was a Christmas Eve. And her family's weird, I'm just going to tell you. I love her family. I love her family, but they scare me to death sometimes. They do, because at that point, you can ask Teresa, at that point, I was really shy, wasn't I? And so I'm there with this family, and I don't know anybody but her and like her parents. And we're sitting there, and they're going to read the Christmas story. And her uncle, who's a preacher, Lawrence, hands me the Bible. And says, would you read the Christmas story for us? What's that got to do with Christmas? But I read it. And ever since then, I've tried to do that every Christmas because I think it's so important, and I'm so glad they shared that with me. I hope you have something like that. I know we all have our Christmas traditions, and it might be... How many of you have a Christmas fruitcake that you pass around between your family? If that's your Christmas... How many of you have that Christmas tradition, okay? Some of you have other Christmas traditions. How many of you do Christmas breakfast together? Some people do, okay? How many of you do Christmas dinner together? Okay? How many of you do, like, drawing names out of a hat? So you buy one... Okay, see? People have different Christmas traditions. Let me just please ask you to make sure that you remember that Christmas is a holy day and that you keep the reverence in Christmas. That you open your Bible and you read from Matthew or you read from Luke. And you just take a minute and say, thank you, Lord. Because without you, none of the dinners, none of the presents would even matter. Reverence is stolen by commercialism, by Santa Claus, by everything else. Yeah, I think the devil loves every holiday light we put up because sometimes I think we get so wrapped up in all the things of Christmas that we don't have time to worship. You know, my wife and I live a busy life. I don't know. She stays busy and I stay busy. And sometimes I get jealous. Y'all ever get jealous? I don't get jealous of her. I mean, I get jealous of my time with her because we get to spend so little of it together sometimes. And sometimes I got to thinking about that the other day. And I think sometimes that's the way Jesus feels about us at Christmas. Because we're so busy buying presents and we're so busy hanging lights and we're so busy putting up the Christmas tree. And we're so busy going to this dinner and that dinner and going to the Christmas play at church or doing whatever we need to do to fulfill all the demands on us for Christmas that we forget that Christmas is about Christ. And let me encourage you to be jealous for Christ this Christmas. To say no matter what may happen, I will spend time with Jesus this Christmas because He's the most precious thing about Christmas. Please keep the reverence for Christmas. Oh, by the way, I think I mentioned this a few years ago. Y'all wrap presents for Christmas? Okay? I remember a few years ago, you used to find a lot of, you'd find Mary and the baby on Christmas paper, you'd find Jesus in the manger or something like that, or you'd find the names of Jesus on wrapping paper. You remember that? And honestly, in the last few years, I haven't seen it. I have to tell you, this year, I found a big roll of Christmas paper that was Christian themed. You know where I found it? At Hobby Lobby. Now, I just want to say something. I don't care where you stand on this, but I appreciate, isn't it interesting that the one place that I found real Christmas paper that really spoke the Christian theme is in a place that it seems like is fighting for its life against a government that says that they can't stand for Christian things. Somehow that just breaks my heart. Let's keep the reverence of Christmas. Let me read you a little poem. The sleigh was all packed, the reindeer were fed, but Santa still knelt by the side of his bed. Dear Father, he prayed, be with me tonight. There's much work to do and my schedule is tight. I must jump in my sleigh and streak through the sky, knowing full well that reindeer can't fly. I will visit each household before the first light. I'll cover the world and all in one night. With sleigh bells a-ringing, I'll land on each roof amid the soft clatter of each little hoof. To get into the house is the difficult part, so I'll slide down the chimney of each child's heart. My sack will hold toys to grant all their wishes. The supply will be endless, like the loaves and the fishes. I will fill all the stockings and not leave a track. I'll eat every cookie that is left for my snack. I can do all these things, Lord, only through you. I just need your blessing, then it's easy to do. All this to honor the birth of Christ that was sent to redeem us, your most holy Son. So to all of my friends, lest your glory I rob, please, Lord, remind them who gave me this job. And then Santa said, Amen. May we remember to keep the reverence in Christmas. And let's remember to keep the exuberance of Christmas. You know what? I don't know about you. I get tired this time. Y'all get tired this time of year? Maybe we just need to cut some things out. I don't know what we need to drop, but I don't know. Maybe we just need to say, hey, let's just make sure that we have the energy to be excited about Christmas. Now, I just want to tell you, little kids don't have any problem with this. But, of course, little kids don't have to drive the car. They don't have to go pick up the presents. They don't have to manage the schedule with Mary and Sally and Bob and Tim. They don't have to make sure that all the candy canes are ripe and all the coffee cake, all the cakes get cooked. And they don't have to wonder if the fruitcake that they bought 5 years ago is still good. You know, they take care of all these things, right? Kids don't worry about that. Kids just know that it's an exciting time of year and they're off school for a couple weeks. One of my favorite Christmas songs is It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, right? And it talks about the kids and all that kind of stuff, and it says that mom and dad are hoping Christmas that school starts again soon. So keep the exuberance in Christmas. What does it say about the shepherds? It says they hurried off. It says they heard the angels and they hurried off, Luke 2:16, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in the manger. And when they seen him, what did they do? They spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it was amazed. Are you excited about Christmas? Not about the lights, not about the cards, not about the toys, not about the presents. Are you excited about the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, took on human flesh, came and lived among us and walked among us and taught us and went to the cross and died for our sins? Are you excited that God Himself stepped out of glory and walked with us so that we could know Him? Are you excited about that? Man, I love it. The shepherds, it says the shepherds hurried off. Let me encourage you, when we get done here, hurry off. Hurry off and go tell somebody about Jesus. Hurry off and say Merry Christmas to them. I've been trying, you know, lately, you know, you've been hearing about people not being able to say Merry Christmas. I haven't run into a single clerk or anything. Everybody I've said Merry Christmas to this year, they've said Merry Christmas back. And God bless them, everyone. The shepherds hurried off. The little shepherd boy ran home. He told his mother and his mama, said, "Guess." And he said, guess what happened? And the chief shepherd may have gone to the local priest and said, Rabbi, you know what's going on down the hill? The Messiah's been born. They couldn't wait to tell anybody. Let me ask you something. All who heard it were amazed. Listen, I hope that you share with others your testimony and that they are amazed by it. Because every one of us here has a testimony, and every one of us here has an amazing testimony. You know what your testimony is? It's amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's the gift of Christmas. That's the gift of Christ. And it's an amazing story, an amazing testimony. So keep the romance, keep the significance, keep the reverence and exuberance. And let's try to keep the innocence of Christmas. You remember what Herod did when he heard about the baby? Matthew 2:16, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave an order to kill all the boys in Bethlehem. Seems that innocence is easily lost in our world. Y'all ever watch TV? I got grandkids. How many of you have grandkids? Anybody? Y'all ever watch TV with your grandkids? Yeah. I was watching TV with my granddaughter the other day. And flipping through the channels, and she came running down, and she heard Sheldon. Y'all know who Sheldon is? And so she wanted to stop and watch a little bit of that show. And after about 5 minutes, I was truly embarrassed for myself, for my daughter, and for our world. Because here's a number one rated show, which has a lot of possibilities to be funny. They actually do some funny things. But it's not innocent, is it? We've lost our innocence. And we're stealing it from our children. Cartoons are stealing it. Some of the cartoons are stealing it from them. Some of the TV shows we watch are stealing from them. Some of the music we listen to is stealing it from them. One day around Christmas time, a little boy was seen running in and out of the church a few times. And finally, someone asked him, said, "Well, you know, you've been running in and out there. What gift did you give the Christmas? What gift did you ask for from Jesus?" And the little boy replied, he said, "I didn't ask for anything. I was just loving on him for a little while." Maybe we just need to love on Jesus and love on our kids and hang on to the innocence. Politicians like Herod will use and abuse Christmas. Commercial entities like Walmart and different companies. And I'm thankful a lot of these places are closed on Christmas Day. Thank you, Lord. But let's face it, you know, how many times have you heard that most companies make their money during November, right? I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is when we lose what it's all about and we lose the innocence. Herod thought nothing of slaughtering the innocents of his days, the little children. But maybe we better do a little more to preserve them. Maybe you've done this too. Little Johnny or Jane comes up, and I'll probably do it next week. Little kid will come up, and we'll kneel down, and we'll get in their face, and what do we ask them? The week after Christmas, what do you ask them? What did you get for Christmas? As if what they got for Christmas is the most important thing. Maybe. How about this? You all ready? Maybe this week, when we see a little kid, we can ask him this. How did you worship Jesus this Christmas? Or maybe we could ask him, what did you give to Jesus this Christmas? What did you do for Jesus this Christmas? How did you let Jesus know you loved him this Christmas? You know, there's a great promise at Christmas. The series we've been doing, and Tony's going to finish it up next week, is called The Promise of Christmas. We got to hold on to the promise. We got to hold on to that innocence. We've got to hold on to that romance. We've got to hold on to that reverence and significance. And we've got to remember that Christ came because He loves us. And if you're here this morning and you don't know that Christ loves you, let me make sure you know. Jesus loves you so much that He went to the cross and died for your sins. And the greatest gift of Christmas is not what you give to somebody else, it's what Christ has given to us. The gift of salvation. And if you need a gift this Christmas, that's the greatest gift I can think for you to have. So let me ask if you would to stand for just a moment. This is our invitation. And it's not my invitation to you. Actually, it's God's invitation to you. It's Jesus' invitation to say, will you trust me? Will you place your faith in me? Yes, I came as a baby. Yes, I was born in the manger. Yes, I lived a sinless life. And yes, I went to the cross for your sins, for your failures, for your mistakes. And I rose again the third day, and you can have hope because of that. Some of you today, I know Christmas can be hard, and maybe you're feeling a little hopeless and hurt, and a little heartache. The altar's open. There's something you need to leave at the foot of the cross. You know what? The greatest present you can bring to Christ is yourself. Maybe you need to leave a little of yourself at the altar today and say, Lord, I'm carrying a burden I shouldn't bear. Or maybe you just need to say, Lord, I just need to give myself to you. You come as we sing. What are we singing, Jared? Oh, come on.